Hello, my name is Molly, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. Manifesting freedom, health, wellness, and peace for all. Program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. This episode is a Thanksgiving special. I'm featuring a short speech by Joanne Farb and her daughter Serena Farb from Kansas. And we hear music by Carrie Sugar and also Elise Clay. The music we hear now is by Will Tuttle. This is the Turkey Song. Let's listen now to this great speech by Joanne Farb. This is at Living with Harmony, Denver, Colorado, 2019.
Long before I was a mother, and before there was internet, before there were cell phones, I was a microbiologist working for a global pharmaceutical company. And it was what I saw firsthand there that turned me into a vegan. My job had me touring hundreds of different facilities around the country that all did really horrific things to animals. And that had a lasting and profound impact on me. That's why I became vegan. But one of the places that had the most profound and lasting impact on me was an industrial operation called a chicken hatchery. Now, these are the places, if any of you ever seen somebody raising backyard chickens for eggs, they come from these places too, including the industrially raised chickens. And when I was in a chicken hatchery one day, I saw these are the carts that hold all the eggs in the incubators. And they're wheeled out one at a time to a station where there were three men in this hatchery whose job it was to get the hatched chickens off and put them on a conveyor belt so they would get their first round of vaccinations. And I was watching these men from the other side of a barricade, so I couldn't see much but their upper body. And as I was watching them take these chicks off, and they worked very fast, so fast that they would have to pause and take a break waiting for the conveyor belt to clear, I noticed when they were pausing and smoking their cigarettes and telling jokes that a really active little chick had jumped up to the edge of the tray and fallen gently to the floor. They're light, they don't get hurt falling down. And I kept watching, waiting, expecting them to bend down and pick up this chick, and nobody did. And a few minutes later, I had a chance to walk around the barricade, and of course, I looked at the floor. Where did the chick go? And that's when I saw that there were dozens of chicks on the floor, many still running around just fine. But when the next round of carts would come, it would inevitably run over a few of them. And the floor was also littered with half-smashed, still-alive chicks stuck by their own blood and guts, flapping crazily, obviously suffering. And I looked at the men there telling their jokes, smoking their cigarettes, and I thought, why aren't they at the very least just stepping on them to put them out of their misery? They weren't doing anything else that was important in that moment. And I think the reason this was even more profound for me than a lot of the other equally horrific things that I saw was because something in this experience reminded me of something else I had learned when I was a small child. And that thing was when I learned about the Holocaust. And when I was learning about the Holocaust, the thing that I really struggled with and could not wrap my brain around was the fact that many of the Nazi guards known to do some of the most horrific things by day would go home in the evening and be typical fathers and husbands and people just like the rest of us. And that, I couldn't understand, because up to that point I'd always thought there was something that distinguished people capable of doing really horrible things that hurt others from the rest of us. Now, I was not the only person to be wondering about this. In fact, following the Holocaust, lots of academics were also asking the question about how people, you know, who was capable of doing these things. And one of the most famous experiments was done by Stanley Milgram, a professor at Yale University. If you've ever taken an introductory psychology course, they almost always talk about Milgram's research. But the most important thing to remember from this is that Milgram's research suggested that over half of us, over half, under the right conditions, are capable of going along with things that we know harm others. And that's chilling. And Milgram himself even said, as a result of his research, that ordinary people simply doing their jobs and without any particular hostility on their part can become agents in a terrible destructive process. Now, as I was thinking about all of this, and I knew that someday I wanted to be a mother. That was really important to me. I started asking myself, is there anything I could do in raising my children that would make them less likely to ever be people who could knowingly participate in harm to others? And that, along with what I was experiencing firsthand, caused me to not only become a committed vegan, but to decide that someday when I had children, I would definitely want to raise them vegan. But you know, one of the first things we discovered when we decided to be on this path, my husband and I, was that, so we had these convictions and we knew what we wanted to do, but then we realized that almost everywhere you go and everything you see, you are being inundated with forces trying to teach something completely opposite to what you're doing in your family and what you want. Everybody's trying to sell something. The advertising, you can't go anywhere, you can't pick up magazines in people's homes, the schools have posters on the walls. Everywhere is reinforcing meat and dairy and materialism and a lifestyle that we did not want our children to be caught up in. So we realized, you know, we're going to have to take things into our own hands here, and we're going to have to create our own family culture that really reinforces what we believe and what we stand for and what we want. So one of the first things we did is we declared our home a vegan sanctuary. We made sure we took our children to animal sanctuaries because that would really help them to understand and connect with what we were doing. Now, at the outset, when we started this, we didn't know very many other vegans, and certainly not very many vegan families. There were no other books out there. In fact, the only book we could find, a parenting book on veganism, was Dr. Michael Clapper's Pregnancy, Children, and the Vegan Diet, and it mostly was a nutrition book. And so I really felt like there was a need for another book that really brought a lot more together. How do you deal with a wide range of issues that are relevant to parenting, and especially vegan parenting? And so that's why I wrote my book, Compassionate Souls, Raising the Next Generation to Change the World. And in that book, I detail how there's really three philosophies that we brought together in our family and felt were so important to building healthy children who could really swim against the tide. So there have been many benefits, it turns out, to our children and to our family having raised them vegan. One of them is that they've really learned deep critical thinking. They don't just go along with what their peers are doing or what is being encouraged. They always ask the questions, who might be harmed by this? Including, you know, themselves and others. They're thinking about the bigger picture of the choices they make. It's really given them a solid moral, ethical compass that's been really wonderful to see, standing up to bullying, speaking up for those that they think they need to speak up for. And they've also been really healthy. So one of the things I really work hard to share with people now that I think is so important is a really bigger picture, a bigger idea about why veganism is so critically important for our children in the next generation. And I've written an essay called Raising Children Who Will Stand for Justice. Our whole family feels like veganism has been such an incredible blessing for all of us. We are grateful for it every day. So my daughter, Serena, she also writes and blogs about this issue. And one of her most popular articles has been one that was called My Parents Forced Veganism on Me. And I thought, you might want to hear what she has to say for herself. So I thought it would be fun to bring her up here and let her just talk to you about this idea of forcing our values on our children. And likewise, the question of, is it unfair to make our children be so different from their peers?
Thank you. So, growing up vegan, and even now, I've had lots of people tell me things like, well, it's great and fine that your parents were vegan, but it was wrong for them to force their vegan values on you. And I have three responses to this. The first is that even stating that my parents forced their veganism on me frames this issue in such a way that makes it seem like the vegans, my parents, are the only ones forcing anything, and that society is values neutral. When in reality, as you saw on her previous slides there, society is anything but values neutral. The big moneyed interests in the meat and dairy industry are doing absolutely everything that they can to force their values of animal exploitation and animal product consumption on children and adults alike. So my parents raising me vegan is really providing a little bit of information to counter the vast amount of propaganda that faces us every time we walk out our door into the rest of the world. So, second is that imagine another situation. Like, imagine parents that care a lot about environmentalism in particular and say they want to raise their children to always recycle. Or parents that are really into other social justice issues and want to enforce values of anti-bullying, women's rights, anti-sexism, and anti-racism in their home. Think about what it sounds like if we talk about them forcing their values on their children. No one says that. No one thinks it's a bad thing. No one bats an eye. But the only difference between parents forcing those values on their children and vegan parents keeping a vegan home and raising vegan children is that society as a whole views those other values as acceptable, normal, and good. While veganism is still a minority idea seen as radical by most people. So my parents raising me vegan, at its heart, was them teaching me that it's wrong to unnecessarily hurt others and that we don't need to live happy and healthy lives. Finally, my last response is that if we focus on raising children that fit in, what kind of a society will that create? If we prioritize that over teaching children to stand up when they see an injustice, to speak out when they see something that is harming others. And so I am incredibly grateful that I was raised vegan and learned all of this information growing up and could take it out into the world and share it with others because it gave me a sense to be really proud to stand up, be okay being different, and speaking out when I saw something that I believed was unjust or wrong or harmful to the planet, even when all of my peers around me were doing it or going along with something else. So I'm so grateful, and I hope that all of you here today with this wonderful program, wonderful food, will, if you're not already vegan, look into going vegan, sharing this information with others, especially children. Because the children and young people today are the future, and it is so important and is a wonderful thing. Thank you.
That's Serena Fab. Serena is currently on a vegan van tour. You can find out more about that on her website, bornvegan.org. And her next speech is in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, on November 28th. Her mom is Joanne Farb, and you can hear the full speech on Joanne Farb's website, joannefarb.com. That's JoannFarb. What we just heard was a shortened snippet of the Living with Harmony presentation in Denver, Colorado. And on Joanne Farb's website, joannefarb.com, you can also find recipes and articles, and she is also a health freedom advocate. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll hear some great vegan music. You're listening to The Deer Song by Will Tuttle. Welcome back from the break. Thank you for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. Let's hear this beautiful song by Carrie Sugar. Do You Believe? Carrie is a co-founder of Northern Vegans in Michigan, the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. One can visit northernvegans.com to learn about their vegan activities. Here's Do You Believe? Believe by Carrie Sugar. The next song is by Elace Clay, Never Gonna Hush Us, featuring MCAD from her album Reverse Hypnosis, 11-11-2011.
Yeah, it's a love revolution. Yeah. You know how we do, Freedom Movement crew. Word is bond.
Alas Clay.
In AD.
2011.
What?
Brother for Life, MCAD on the track.
No doubt. Keeping it true, Elias Clay, tell him how we do.
Handing out fire, you can spot me from afar. Light emanating from my center like a star. The energy shifts soon as I step out the car. That Stephanie Hartini, shed Ruthie Escobar. Alias, aka Elias Clay. I'm a revolutionary from the cradle to grave. I'm on a list with the feds for the that I say. They say I'm paranoid, schizophrenic, insane. There's some bull. They pulled just to lock me away. Got the truth spewing from me and I ain't gonna change. Great spirit running through me and she doing a thing. Moving me to get free, saying break these chains. I didn't bring you to the world to be a Babylon slave. You gon' stand up, child. You gon' learn to be brave. You gon' break from the masses, get them all awake. Creeping to the speaker saying something's gotta change.
Trying to stop me, I say no, sir. Coming through with the fury of a soldier. For my sisters and my brothers, Big Brother ain't never gonna hush us. Try and stop me, I say no, sir. Coming through with the fury of a soldier. For my sisters and my brothers, Big Brother ain't never gonna hush us.
Coming through tonight, surely gonna cause a scene. First I'm queuing up on sweet potato and collard greens. I see the hard knocks trying to understand me. Colombian seed, raised in Miami. In a land of crooks, vultures, fiends and sharks. Home of the blow, rolls, Molly Crip.
That was Elias Clay, Never Gonna Hush Us, featuring MCAD from 11/11/2011. And here's Elias Clay, Override the Program, 2022, Propaganda Overload.
Reporting live from Spaceship Earth to all here and beyond. Transmit a message coming through from 2021. If you're listening, I pray it's not too late for what's been done. We can still shift trajectories and train for what's to come. For the beautiful, the difficult, the rising to our pinnacles. The facing of our history and the freedom from its tentacles. The intervals of silence and the balance in between. The sifting of the fiction from the waking life and dreams. Is this 2021 or is it 1984? Is this a chapter at a brave new world or is it something more? Is it something bigger just beyond that I can't even see? Is it triggered by the movements of awakened human beings? Cause we're headed towards a place where every move is tracked and traced. All dissension is erased. All the cameras scan your face. Here society is shaped and no crisis goes to waste. Just the perfect mix of heavy propaganda and isolation. But we're cutting through the signals, reaching through the screens. Still throwing wrenches in the gears of the machine. Trying to undo the mind control with laser light beams. But the fog is thick and nothing's what it seems. So we override the program, deconstruct the show, activate the shields on our bodies, minds, and souls. Living in a time of propaganda overload, but I'm one of those who will not be controlled. I'm not open for experiments, no puppet, not a pawn, not a tool for QAnon. Trust no plan, I make my own, concentrate my own energy, carry out my missions. Don't distract myself with all the latest controlled opposition. Keep my vision on my purpose, keep my inner circle small. I don't with all that circus noise, I focus on my call. Empires rise and fall, but our legacies remain. I know the steps of all our ancestors haven't been in vain. And still flowing through these veins, the will to remain free. Here to demonstrate the difference between humans and machines. One of these made to be programmed, the other's meant to breathe. I give you one guess, which one of these is me? Cause we're headed towards a place where every move is tracked and traced. All dissension is erased. All the cameras scan your face. Here society is shaped and no crisis goes to waste. Just the perfect mix of heavy propaganda and isolation. Oh, we're cutting through the signals, reaching through the screens. Still throwing wrenches in the gears of the machine. Trying to undo the mind control with laser light beams. But the fog is thick and nothing's what it seems. So we override the program, deconstruct the show, activate the shields on our bodies, minds, and souls. Living in a time of propaganda overload, but I'm one of those who will not be controlled. Neurotoxins in the water, heavy metals in the air. Mass poison in the food supply, officials well aware. Ask the families in Flint, ask them on the reservations. Most of the politicians aren't trying to have these conversations. Like the 5G radiation, steady rolling out in stealth. By our homes and by our schools, they could care less about our health. All complicit in compliance, I'm suspicious by default. When whole populations' immune systems face daily assault. From the EMFs, GMOs, toxicity overloads, ever-increasing radiation while depleting crucial soils, all the while spreading cancer, years suppressing cures. Now the same institutions want to rest us all assured that their experiments are safe and that the odds are in our favor. Ask yourself if that's a bet you're trying to wager. Not me. We're cutting through the signals, reaching through the screens. Still throwing wrenches in the gears of the machine. Trying to undo the mind control with laser light beams. But the fog is thick and nothing's what it seems. So we override the program, deconstruct the show. Activate the shields on our bodies, minds, and souls. Living in a time of propaganda overload. But I'm one of those who will not be controlled.
A lace clay. Official music video. Propaganda overload. Override the program. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Here's To Be Free by Will Tuttle. Here's the repeat of Serena Farb, bornvegan.org.
And so I am incredibly grateful that I was raised vegan and learned all of this information growing up and could take it out into the world and share it with others, because it gave me a sense to be really proud to stand up, be okay being different, and speaking out when I saw something that I believed was unjust or wrong or harmful to the planet, even when all of my peers around me were doing it or going along with something else. Well, if you're not already vegan, look into going vegan, sharing this information with others, especially children, because the children and young people today are the future, and it is so important and is a wonderful thing. Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Much thanks to Serena Farb, Joanne Farb, Elise Clay, and Carrie Sugar, and Will Tuttle. Please join us again next week at the same time. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day.